said this was the Italian prophet. Italian prophet said, yeah, Malachi. But it's not Malachi, it's Malachi. And Malachi chapter 2, and come down to verse 10. Malachi chapter 2, verse 10. Malachi chapter 2, verse 10 says, have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? There's a great deal said in that verse. But I want you to focus on that first question, have we not all one Father? I'm going to talk to you tonight about God the Father. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that we can come to you and we can call you our Father. We can know you as our Father. And Lord, we pray that you would help us this evening to understand better that relationship, who you are, who we are, and how we can relate to each other. Then, Lord, I pray that you just direct us by your Spirit into all truth. Forgive us anything that would stand in the way of your working. And give us ears to hear, hearts to receive what the Spirit will say to the church this hour. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Many years ago, decades ago, in another city, I was working a church bus route. And I met one day, it was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And at that time, I don't know now, I haven't checked there in many years, but at that time, within the city limits of Chattanooga, now Chattanooga's not a small town, it's not the biggest city in the country either, but within the city limits of Chattanooga, at that time, there were over 100 churches. That's not counting all the other churches. There were lots of other churches. Matter of fact, they old joke was in that day that if a pedestrian was struck and killed on a Sunday in Chattanooga, they probably got hit by a church bus because there were so many of them. So the fact is, over 100 Baptist churches, there were multiple, not one or two, multiple Christian radio stations. There were Christian television stations. There were churches going out door to door. There were people on street corners giving out tracts. There were people all over the city, the gospel was almost everywhere. Now, I tell you that story, and I give you that setting to tell you this. I was working a church bus route, and I went to a home. I'd been to the home before. It wasn't my first time there. There was a young boy there. He was 14 years old. His name was Edward. And I began to talk to Edward about God. And Edward said to me, and I almost fainted, he said, who is that? I said, Edward, you know who God is. He said, no. I said, Edward, God made the trees and the sky. And I said, no, I didn't know that. He was not joking. He was not trying to be funny. He was not being sarcastic. He was 14 years old, lived in the United States of America, in a city where there were hundreds of churches where the gospel was being given out in many places. He did not know who God was. So what'd you do? We began, I say we because it wasn't myself alone, another man and myself, we began to work with Edward. And over a period of months, he came to trust the Lord Jesus. Well, why did it take months? We had to start by teaching him who God was. He didn't know. Some years later, I was right down the street here, right down Lake Ida Road, talking to another young man who at that time was 17 years old. He told me he had never been in a church in his entire life, that I was the first preacher he had ever talked to. And I spoke to this 17-year-old young man just right down the street here, where he lived. And I began to talk to him about God. And he pointed to his record albums. Now you know how long ago it was. Mm-hmm. He pointed to his record albums and he said, these are my gods. He did not know who God was. Now, I say, well, those are two isolated stories, two teenage young men who maybe they weren't telling the truth. I think they were telling the truth. I genuinely do. I'm telling you, in the United States of America, with all that we have, the churches we have, the ministries we have, radio, television, internet, print literature, all of it, there are people who do not only do not know God, they don't know who God is. So I want to talk to you tonight, and we won't be able to answer all the questions in one session, so we're planning to do a series on this, on God the Father. If the God of the Bible is the one true God, if he's the one true God, are there other gods? If the God of the Bible is the one true God, and we talked about this a little bit this morning, where did God come from? You were with us in the Sunday school hour. We talked about that some. And the truth of the matter is, God didn't come from anywhere. God has always been. He is the eternal God. Now, eternal God means that he didn't have a beginning, but he also doesn't have an ending. Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. And by that, he's saying, I am the beginning and the ending. To have a beginning and an ending at the same point indicates a circle. That's the only way you can have the beginning and ending at the same point. We live in a realm called time, and time is a linear concept. What do you mean, linear concept? Well, first of all, it's a concept. Have you ever seen time? You have. You ever touched it? No. You ever heard it? No. You never smelled it? You don't. But you know time exists. You know time exists because things pass. And we measure time. How do we measure time? With chronometers, right? Well, that sounded fancy. With clocks and watches and things like that. That's how we measure time. But time itself had a beginning. We can read in the Bible about the very beginning of time, and if you read in the first book of the Bible about the beginning of time, you go over and read the last book of the Bible and read about the end of time. Time had a beginning. Time will, at some point, have an end. Now, how far out is it? I really couldn't tell you. I'm going to stand here and tell you that I am certain that it is at least 1,007 years away. It may be much longer than that, but it's at least that far out. Now, how do you know that? That's a whole other story. But the Bible tells us that. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus is going to come. After that, there will be a seven-year period we call tribulation. After that, there will be a thousand-year reign of Jesus upon the earth. And then comes the end. So the end of time is at least 1,007 years away. I think it's more than that, but it's no less than that. You mean I'm not going to live to see the end of the planet? Probably not. Unless you live longer than any other human being ever has. Even in the Old Testament, when people lived long periods of time, nobody lived 1,000 years. A couple of them got close, but nobody got there. So again, unless you live longer than any other human being, you will not live to see the end of this planet. Well, I don't know, there's virus getting bad and this and that. Can I share something with you? I'm not going to get into a political discussion at all, but let me share something with you. People today are so concerned, and maybe it's justified, but they're so concerned that we are so damaging the planet that our planet is going to be destroyed by human activity. 30, 40 years ago, people were terrified that our planet was going to be absolutely annihilated, turned into a burned-out cinder by nuclear war. And before that, this is not a new thing, folks. And yet, it's still here, isn't it? And I'm telling you, it's going to be here at least another 1,007 years. Maybe longer. Probably longer. That being said, even if you say, well, I don't agree with you about 1,007 years, have to agree with me, but you'll see it happens. Anyway, the fact of the matter is, somewhere out there is going to be the end of time.
But eternity is an entirely different matter. Eternity is the realm where things do not have a beginning and they do not have an end. And when something's eternal, it goes continuously. So it's like the difference between, and I know you can't see this as far away as you are, maybe I can't even do it, but I'm going to try. I have a circle there. Okay, can you see that? Is it too far away? All right, I have a circle there. I have a straight line here. Straight line has a beginning, has an ending. But when you look at the circle, you can't tell where the beginning is and where the end is. It's continuous. And as I said earlier, the only way you can have the beginning and ending at the same point is to have a circle. So eternity is like a circle. Time is like a straight line. Say, that's an oversimplification. I know it is, but goodness, we can't stay here for 30 days discussing all this, can we? So God dwells in the realm of eternity. So God didn't come from anywhere. God has always been and always will be. Number two, the Bible assumes the fact of God. Let me say that again. The Bible assumes the fact of God. The very first statement, the very first book of the Bible is, in the beginning, God. Now, that's not the whole verse, but let's just analyze that whole statement. In the beginning. In the beginning of what? The beginning of everything. The beginning of everything we relate to. The beginning of our planet. The beginning of life on earth. The beginning of the universe, as far as we're concerned. In that beginning. The beginning of time. In that beginning. In the beginning, God. So the Bible begins with the assumption that God exists. And telling you that God exists. Now that's the first verse of the first book of the Old Testament. Then we come over to the last book of the Old Testament, which is where I ask you to turn to tonight, the book of Malachi. Malachi, the last of the writing prophets before the Savior came. And in Malachi chapter 2, verse 10, the question is asked, have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? So again, the first book of the Old Testament assumes God, the last book of the Old Testament assumes God, and all the others in between assume God. God is a fact. God is the everlasting Father. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Now, I realize that there are people who say, well, I don't believe in creation, science has proved otherwise. I don't have time to totally get into that either in one discussion, but let me say this, science has not proved otherwise. I'm about to say some things that are not original with me, and that's probably a good thing, because if they were original with me, they might not have a great deal of depth and validity, but they're not original with me. First thing I'm going to say is this, in the beginning, God. No. Not in the beginning, God. In the beginning, energy. And energy was there, and energy somehow began to swirl. And energy began to swirl, and it compacted itself. And as it compacted itself, there was so much energy in this small little compaction that and all of a sudden, there was the universe. They call that the Big Bang Theory. Now you got a bang out of that, didn't you? Two things I want to say about that. One, I can't believe in God because I don't know where God came from. All right, let's play on a level field. Where did that energy come from? Where did it come from? Second thing I want to say about that, and again, this is not original with me, but were you there? What do you mean, were you there when it all started? Well, no, I wasn't there when it all started. Well, do you know anybody who was there when it all started? You don't, do you? So you don't have any eyewitness testimony. You don't have any evidence that you can prove. Oh, no, you don't understand. Stephen Hawking took it. He mathematically proved the beginning of the universe. He did not.
Stephen Hawking passed away not long ago, and I mean no disrespect to the dead. He was a brilliant man, and he certainly knew things that I don't. There's no question about that. A lot of things that I don't. But he did not mathematically prove the beginning of the universe. He wrote a book about that. His book was, I think, something similar to The Beginning of Everything. Something along that line. But he did not mathematically prove the beginning of the universe. Now, again, not taking away from his intellect. Brilliant man in many ways. But not that brilliant. Not so brilliant that he knew what happened at the beginning of the universe. He theorized. That's what the book is called, The Theory of Everything. That's what it's called, The Theory of Everything. He theorized the beginning of the universe. Well, all right, brilliant man, brilliant scientist can theorize the beginning of the universe. But if you call yourself a Christian, you can't. That doesn't quite sound right, does it? Just because you call yourself a Christian, just because you say you believe a book that tells you about the origin of the universe, you couldn't possibly have a correct theory. There's something wrong with that scenario. Something's not quite right there. Something that doesn't allow for diverse points of view. So God is everlasting, and God is the Father. He's the Father of what? Look at Malachi 2:10 again. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Who is us? Well, in this case, Malachi could be referring just to the nation of Israel because that's his audience, that's who he's writing to. But, and I think he does intend it for Israel, but I think it goes beyond that. I think he's speaking about the human race. One God created all of us. Well, you don't believe that story about Adam and Eve, do you? I certainly do. You know, preacher, the Bible has some validity, but those first 11 chapters, a lot of that's allegory, and it's not really meant to be true and not taken literally. Why not? Just all these stories about Adam and Eve and a talking serpent. You ever see a talking snake? No, I haven't. If I ever did, I'm pretty sure I'd remember it. No, I haven't ever seen a talking snake. Wow, I didn't see that. Then how could there be a talking snake? Folks, I've seen a lot of things that I've never seen before. I talked about that the other Wednesday night. I saw something I've never seen before in my whole life. It was not a big deal, and I didn't go get into it, but it's something I've never seen before. And there are all kinds of things. Did you know that there are constantly around our planet new species of animals are being discovered? This is true. You look it up. Don't take my word for it. Look it up. Research it. They discover new species of animals all the time. Probably species is the right term, but new animals that they knew didn't know existed before. This is not one of those. Some of them they discovered, we didn't know such an animal existed. Now, just to plant a seed thought here, if there are animals that they're finding that they didn't know existed before, if that's happening, and it is, what other creatures, animals might be out there that they don't know about? You can do a lot of that, and I'm not trying to get into something way out there, but just think about that. One thing that got me, and I shared this in church when it happened, this was, a dozen years ago or more. I read an article where I believe it was New Zealand, may have been Australia, in that area. But I believe it was on the island, the main island of New Zealand. They found a lizard that they previously had thought had been extinct for a million years. And they found one living. And so, I'm not making this up. They said, and where you find one, there's usually more than one. Is that reasonable? Okay. They found this lizard that they thought previously had been extinct for a million years, and they spent $300,000 on a study to determine whether the lizard was reproducing. Now, I want you to think that through for about 30 seconds, because that's all it'll take. Either, there's only two possibilities. Either that species of lizard is reproducing,
or that one you found is over a million years old? Now, which one do you think is more reasonable? Obviously, they're reproducing. You don't need to spend $300,000 to study whether this creature is reproducing. It's obviously reproducing. Has to be. But common sense doesn't matter when you're applying for a government grant. Now, the truth of the matter is, we can look back and we can see some things materially that we know. And then again, there are some things that we don't know. But we can trust. And so the Bible begins with this thing, in the beginning, God.
And God is presented to us as a father. Now, first of all, he is the father because he is our creator. He is the uncaused cause. He is the designer and maker of life.
Going back thousands of years, some people will go back hundreds of thousands, some people want to go back millions, but let's just be conservative. Let's just go back thousands of years and say people are living. If there's over 7 million living on the planet right now, think back to the New Zealand literature. Is that evidence that people are reproducing? Is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty solid evidence that people are reproducing.
And you go back thousands of years, and there have been people, unquestionably, there have been people here for thousands of years. Is that not evidence that they're all reproducing? Don't you think somewhere, at some point, there has to be a first man and first woman? Is that not reasonable? Is that not logical? There has to be. Has to be. So if there were the first man and first woman, why on earth, and I mean that literally, why on earth couldn't we have an independent body of Christ? Why is that impossible? Especially when there is good, solid, historical, and archaeological evidence that life began what's called the fertile crescent, civilization began what's called the fertile crescent, which is exactly what the Bible says. Can you do that? That is not my opinion.
was like, God saw the light, it was good. Got you there. That's another one of those problems in your Genesis story, preacher. Your Bible says God created light, and then days later he created the sun. Ha ha, got you there. You can't have light without the sun. Sure you can. Sure you can. The sun is the major source of life on earth. There's no question about that. But stop and think about that for a second. Is the sun the only source of light on earth? It isn't. Did you know that you can go down, and by the way, I've only seen this on camera, I've not seen it in person, but you know you can go down to the very depths of the sea, so far down into the water that the sunlight doesn't penetrate, and you can find light. There are animals that can emit light. Down in the depths of the ocean. Now, there's light that exists without the sun. Again, nobody's arguing. Nobody's saying the sun isn't our primary source of light. Nobody's saying we don't need the sun. Life on earth could not continue without the sun. But it's not the only source of light. So could light exist before the sun? Absolutely. Then God is our creator. God is our source of light. He's the source of light. He's the uncaused cause, the designer and maker of all things. And then God is the lawgiver. And that's where the rub comes in for so many people. God is the lawgiver. Let's think about that for a minute. If God is God, if he is the creator, if he is the designer and maker of all things, if he is the source of life, don't you think he ought to be able to make the rules? I mean, that just kind of makes sense to me. I'm not going to tell this whole story because I've told it here many times before, but just let me tell you a quick illustration. Years ago, my family and I were traveling, and we had a car. We hadn't owned it very long, and we had a problem with the car. Much more of the story. We had a problem with the car, and the problem got solved very simply. But I didn't know how to solve that problem. Somebody else had to show it to me, and somebody showed me a simple solution problem. This is a very simple fix. One of the easiest fixes I've ever seen on a car in my whole life. After it was all fixed, I said to my wife, I said, would you get the owner's manual out of the glove box and see if it tells us about this thing? And she got it out, but sure enough it did. The owner's manual told us. Now, somebody at the factory wrote the owner's manual. And the manufacturer put that owner's manual out there so we would know about this quick and easy fix for this problem that we had. Well, who gave them the right to tell us how to fix that problem? They made the car. That's who gave them the right. They knew how it worked. Can we take that and apply it to the creator of all things? He knows how it works. He made it. He designed it. Just like Ford did that car. And not only that, he gave us a manual to go by. It's as simple as that, folks. He gets to tell us what works and what doesn't. Then he is eternal, we've already talked about. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. He is omniscient, all-knowing. And he is omnipresent, all-present. So much more we'd like to go into on that. All of that to say God is our Father. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? He is our Father. He is caring. He is not a God who created us and then said, well, that was fun. Now I'm off to do something else. No, he's caring. He cares about us. He is loving. He loves you and me with all of our faults and failures. He still loves us. He is forgiving. I'm so grateful for that. God is forgiving. He is providing. And he is giving. And then, he is the Savior. And we'll not turn there for the sake of time, but in Isaiah chapter 43, it says, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior.
He's the Savior. So how can we know God?
Well, to put it as succinctly as I can, Jesus said this: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You want to get to know God? Get to know Jesus. When you get to know Jesus, you'll know God. It's that simple. Somebody said to me on more than one occasion, when they said, well, this God of yours is real. If this God of yours really existed, why doesn't he come to the earth and show himself to us? And my answer to that is very simple. He did. He wants us to know him. He is knowable. I want to show you something else about God, and we don't even need to go to another book. Just take your Bible, if you're still open to Malachi 2, and turn over to chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. And come down to verse 6. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. He says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." He's the unchangeable God. He is God our Father. Now, if God knows us, which he certainly does, if he wants us to know him, which he certainly does, and if we can come to know him through Jesus, which we certainly can, that leaves us one other thing to do. That is to help others to come to know him. To know God